Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tesvav. We begin the very top words, Tesvav and Aleph. Now, yesterday we had mentioned that there were 8 Nevi'im, and we listed their names, and the Gemara says, Bishlama Inu, it is understandable that 4 of them are specifically stated to be Nevi'im. So that's how we know, Mifreshi, they're specifically spelled out. Rashi goes through which 4 they are, and he tells us why. He shows us the Psukim, that this was Yirmiyahu, Hanamel, Baruch, and Sraya. So these 4 were clearly Nevi'im. The Psukim tell us so. But how do we know that all of their fathers, Ella, Avasayhu, their fathers, Minolim? We don't have specific Psukim to tell us that their respective fathers, Chilkiyah, Shalom, Neriah, and Machsayah, how do we know that they were also Nevi'im? Minolim. Where do we know that from? So Gemara says, Kidu Ula. Ula told us this, and he says a very important idea. The Amar Ula, Ula tells us, Kol Makom Sheshimo, any place where you have the person mentioned, the Navi mentioned, and also Vishem Aviv Benevius, and his father's also mentioned, and it deals with the Navua that the son gave. So if it tells us, Yitzchak Ben Avram, and it tells us that Yitzchak gave a Navua, and it also mentions his father. Now, it seemed to be unnecessary to mention the father. The Nevi'im were well known, and it wouldn't be necessary to state who they were. And therefore, Biyadua, if you mention the father seemingly unnecessarily, it's to not be unnecessary, it's to teach us an idea, Shu Navi Ben Navi, that the father was also a Navi. Similarly, if it mentions the name of the Navi, Shemo, Velo Shem Aviv, without mentioning his father's name, so then it's Biyadua, then you can take it to the bank, you know for sure that the son was a Navi, Shu Navi, but the father was not a Navi, Velo Ben Navi. Similarly, Ula said another thing. He said, if it mentions the Navi, it mentions Shemo, and it also says the Shem Iro, and it says the name of his city, Mefurish, specifically, so Biyadua, Shehu, and the Bachet's words Navi, may also hear. It's certain that this person is a Navi from that very city. And if it doesn't mention the name of the city, if it just mentions the name of the Navi, Shemo, Velo Shem Iro, without mentioning his name, then the default position is Biyadua, Shum Yushalayim. He comes from Yushalayim. But Masnisa Torah, we learn likewise in the Braisa, Kol Shemaisov Umase Avosov Stumim. Now, the Bach changes this around a little bit, and he says, Kol Shemaisov Stumim, Umase Avosov V'chule are Stumim. So if you don't mention something specific about the son and the father, so then, similar to what Ula had said, the Braisa tells us the same thing, Uparat L'cha Kosov Bi'ech B'hem L'shevach, and one of them is mentioned then, subsequently, in a positive way. So, for example, by Tzafanya, it says, Kidgon, Devar Hashem Asher Hayo El Tzafanya. Then it says who his father and grandfather was, Ben Kushi, Ben Gedaya. So it mentions who these Tzafanya's parents and grandfather was. So then it's Biyadua, Shutzad, Ben Tzadik. That since it mentions them, one of them, Lishvach, it mentions here, Tzafanya Lishvach, that he's a Navi. Devar Hashem Asher Hayo, the word of a Kaddish Baruch Hu came to Tzafanya. So it didn't have to mention who Kushi and Gedaya were, his father and grandfather. Mistama viadushu tzadik ben tzadik. They were also tzadikim. Similar to what we said before, if you mention the nevuah and you don't mention the father was a navi, but you mention the father's name, viadushu navi ben navi. So again, viadushu tzadik ben tzadik. Similar idea in the brisa to what Ula said. The choshe part of the chakasa. And if the pasuk specifically mentions be'echad mihem liknai, similarly the opposite. If it mentions a lineage of people, like it does, for example, kigon by the assassination of Gedaya ben Achikam, it says vahi b'chodesh hashvi was in the 7th month. And Ba Yishmael ben Nisanya ben Elishama, and he went and he killed Gedaya ben Achikam. So then, in that situation, since it only mentions the son, Yishmael, in a terrible way, that he was an assassin, and he killed the great person, Gedaya ben Achikam, that's Son Gedaya, and it says only that the son was bad, but since it mentions seemingly unnecessarily that he was the son of Nisanya, the son of Elishama, Biyadua Shu Rasha ben Rasha, that the whole lineage of them were all Rishoyim. Similar idea to what Ula said. Now the Gemara says, "Am Rav Nachman." On the side, the Gemara says, "Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok." In any event, either Rav Nachman or Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said, "Malachi," that the Navi Malachi, that was actually Mordechai. He said Mordechai. Mordechai was also the Navi Malachi, one and the same person. Why was he changed his name? Why wasn't he called Mordechai? The Lomnik Rishmo Malachi. Why was he called Malachi? To allude to the idea, Shai Mishla Melech, that he was appointed to be the viceroy, the second to the king at the demise of Haman Arusha. More questions. This says, really? Meisve. We have the following braisa where it says, Baruch ben Neriah, he was one of the Nevi'im that we just mentioned before, and his father, the Navi Neriah. And Usraya ben, now we have the Girsa Masaya, but it really should be Machasaya. That's what the Gro changes it to. Again, two of the other Nevi'im that we mentioned before, the Daniel, Mordechai Bilshan. Here it mentions Mordechai specifically after Daniel, and then it says, with Chagai, Zechaya, and Malachi. So clearly it mentions Mordechai and Malachi in the same pasuk as two different people. Kulam Nisnav, Bishnashtaim, Dayavish. All of them gave Nevuah in the second year of the reign of Daryavish. This is a Daryavish who was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. So therefore, it lists Mordechai as giving a Nevuah, and it lists Malachi as giving a Nevuah. They're obviously two separate people. This is the Tiyufta to either Rav Nachman or Rav Nachman by Yitzhak. So then who was Malachi? So Gemara says, Tanya, according to the following Braisa, Amar Shub and Karcha, Malachi said Ezra. Malachi was the Novi Ezra. We didn't have Ezra mentioned in the previous passage, so Ezra could certainly be Malachi. And the Chacham say, the Chacham Amim, Malachi Shmuel, no, this was a separate Navi whose name was Malachi. It wasn't Ezra, it wasn't Mordechai. It was another Navi called Malachi. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says another statement, and Rav Nachman says, this is all according to some, also Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I should mention before, when it was Amar Rav Nachman, there were those that had the gear said it was Amar Rab, not Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I made a mistake. I looked at the wrong Masoras HaShas. Before, it should have been Amar Rav Nachman or Amar Rab, and here it's Amar Rav Nachman or Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. In any event, the author of this statement said, Mistabra Kiman de Amar Malachi Ezra. The most correct of the previous ones, either Malachi was a separate Navi, not Mordechai and not Ezra, or that he was Mordechai or that he was Ezra, so we disproved that he was Mordechai. And therefore, he says, Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, it's most correct to say that Malachi, in fact, was Ezra. Why is this? Based upon the following Nevuah. The Chassid, it says, B'Nevius Malachi, it says in the Navi of Malachi, Bogdo Yehuda V'Soeva Nesesavi Yisrael V'Yushalayim, that the people of Yehuda, the Jewish people, they did a terrible thing, and they did this in all Klai Yisrael, they did in Yushalayim, Kichilel Yehuda, the Klai Yisrael profaned, Kodesh Hashem, they went against the Kiddusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Ohev, which of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, Ubal Bas, and they married, they had relations with El Nechor, a strange foreign woman. In other words, they married Goyim, and that was a terrible Aveira. Now, who is the one that we know that railed against this terrible Aveira? This is Malachi over here in this Nevuah. However, we know Uman Afrish Noshim Nechuyas, but we have a Navi elsewhere where it tells us that Ezra was the one that railed against the men taking non-Jewish wives, and he told them to go and divorce those non-Jewish wives. Ezra, that was Ezra. They say because the pasuk in Ezra tells us, "Vayan Shechanya ben Yechiel ibn Elam." He was one of the people from Elam, and he told to Ezra, "Yomli Ezra, anachnu ma'alnu be'elokinu. We did a terrible sin against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anoshim noshim nachuyas, and we married Goyish wives." And Ezra told him to get rid of them. So therefore, you see that Ezra and Malachi are both giving the same prophecy or the same thought to the people that they should get rid of their Goyish wives. So therefore, Mistama, it makes sense that Ezra and Malachi are the same person. Now, we had discussed in yesterday's shir the seven Nevios, and we had brought down that Chulda had originated, along with seven Nevi'im, from Yehoshua and Rachav. So now, since we had mentioned Rachav in yesterday's shir, so now we mention them more today. Tana Rabban, we learn the following in the Braisa. Arba, Noshim, Yefifios, Hoyvolim. There were four women over the course of history, they were known for their being unbelievably beautiful. Tosus asked a very interesting question. He says, how come Chava, the first woman created, is not listed over here? Because the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that as beautiful as Sarah was, when you compared her to Chava, so she was like a monkey, Kikof Bifnei Adam, like a monkey compared to a person. So Chava was the most beautiful person ever. So therefore, Tosa says, no, the Gemara there tells us, Yeshlomai delo choshev ela osan hanoldos me'isha. The list over here of the four most beautiful women was only women who had been born by a mother. Chava was created, of course, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Adam, and therefore she's not included in this list of man-made, so to say, women-made women. Okay, the Braisa tells us, who are these four women of great, unbelievable beauty? So they were Sarah. Now we have the gears of Abigail and Rachav, just chronologically, Rachav is earlier than Abigail, so that's why it's in parentheses on the side it says, to switch it around, so it should read, the list should read, Sarah, Rachav, Vavigail, the Esther, these four women. I, Esther, we just said, Yerach Rakos, Laman, the Omer, Esther, Yerach Rakos, Haisa, that Esther had this sallow complexion, that she was jaundiced, she was a greenish color, so then that wouldn't be beautiful, albeit she was made to look beautiful in everybody's eyes, but that's not objectively beautiful. So if you held like that opinion, you would remove Esther from this list of four. Mayfik Esther, Umayel Vashti, the wicked Vashti, the Rishoa Vashti, but she was a very, very beautiful woman, so she would be supplanting Esther on this list, according to the opinion. It says Esther was not objectively beautiful. Tana Rabban will learn another Braisa, Rachav. If you just mentioned the name of Rachav, Bishma, Zinsa. A person would go and do immoral things just by hearing the name of Rachel. That's how beautiful she was, that people would just even say her name and they would be overcome with desire and be mezana. Similarly, if you heard the voice of Yael Bekola, a person would go and Rachmana Litzlan commits nos, be driven crazy just by hearing her voice. Abigail, if you mention the name Bischirasa, that would drive a person to be mezana. And Micha Bashal was also a very beautiful woman, so Biriyasa, if you saw her, that would drive a man to go and do immoral things. Morgantinum says, Amar Yitzchak, Kol Omer Rachav, Rachav, if you just mention Rachav's name, Yad Nikri, a person would have a discharge, he would give off Zera, because he would be thinking of her, and it would cause him to have the Sihurim that would lead to him have a discharge of Zera. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchak, wait a second, I know, I mean a Rachav Rachav. We're reading the Gemara right now, and we're saying the name Rachav Rachav Loich Badli. Nobody's having, hopefully, a discharge of Zera, because we're just learning this Gemara, Rachav Rachav. So the Gemara says, no, Omar Lei, Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, when I said, if you said Rachav Rachav, you would immediately have a discharge, Ki Kamina, Biyoda, Uvimakira. That would be if the person knew her. Some suggest that Biyoda means that you knew her biblically and that you had relations with her. So if you just thought of her, said her name, that would lead you to have a Zera discharge. Or Uvimakira, or if a person was familiar with her, that he had seen her and knew her. So just when you mention a name, he would think of her, and that would lead to the Zera discharge. Amar continues with the darshning of the Megillah. It says, Mordechai, Yodayas Kol Asher Nasah. Mordechai knew everything that had been done. In other words, that the decree against the Jewish people had occurred. Haman and Achashverosh got together their evil plot. Vayizak Zaakah Gedolah Umarah. That's the part that we're now going to darshan. The next part of the pasuk, that he had a big, bitter cry. My, Amar, what did Mordechai say in this Vayizak Zaakah Gedolah Umarah? What did he say? Sarab Amar, Gova Haman Miachashverosh. He said, oi, we know that Achashverosh is a Rasha. We see Haman's even a bigger Rasha, that Haman concocted this plan and Achashverosh agreed to it. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Gavra Malki La Mimalka Tato, Kavioch, the exact opposite. It looks like the earthly king over here has prevailed over the Akosh Baruch Hu, the Shemayim king. And he, of course, didn't want to say it that way, so we use this euphemism as we always do. We don't want to say Chas V'Shalom ever something that is a negative connotation. So the Gemara continues, Esther is told, and Batischalchal Hamalkom Ma'od. So the Queen Esther, so she became very, very Batischalchal. What does that mean? Mai Batischalchal. So two interpretations. Gemara says, Omar Rav, Shapir Sanida, that she was Pir Sanida. Sometimes when a woman has a tremendous fright or tremendous happiness, she's Pir Sanida. This is the source for when a Kala is getting married, so she doesn't see her chassan. This is the minhag, but she doesn't see her chassan for the 7 days before, because if she were to see him, she might be pure sanida, and then you'd have a problem having the wedding as a chuppas nida. So that's the first interpretation. That's Rav, she pure sanida, because of this terrible news, so it caused her to become a nida. And Rav Yiriyah said, Omar, shehutzu chol l'nekaveh, that she had diarrhea. It made her so upset, it upset her stomach so much that she had diarrhea. Then it says, Vatikro Esther Lasoch, when she finds out that Mordechai is there with a Sakva Ether, so she calls to Asoch. Asoch is her Jewish aide that's there. So the Gemara asks, who is this Asoch? Omer Rav, who is this Asoch? Zed Daniel. Asoch really was Daniel. Why was he called Asoch? Lomani Korshu Asoch, Shechatavuhu Migdulosu. He was cut down, he was chopped down. Under the previous kings before Achashverosh, under Belshazzar, he had a very prominent position. Under Dayovesh the first, he had a prominent position. Under his son-in-law, Koresh, he had a very prominent position. And now that Achashverosh took over, so he no longer was the Secretary of State. All of a sudden, they appointed Achadvareela, Gidel HaMelech Achashverosh, as Haman. So Haman now had taken over Hasoch's place. So that's why Daniel, who was that person, now has been chopped down, and that's why they call him Hasoch. That's the opinion of Rav. Ushmuel says, Ushmuel Omar, she called Divrei Malchus Nechtochen Apiv. No, he still had a very, very prominent position, and nothing was done without his doing it. He was the secretary in charge of putting out the king's pronouncement, and therefore nothing ever got done unless he actually said it and did it. Okay. Then it says, Esther sent Hasoch with a message to Mordechai, what's going on? Why are you with Sakba Ether? So she wants to know what's going on. So the Amar of Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak says, Shol Chalo, she sent with Hasoch the following message to Mordechai. Maybe Shem Ovi Yisrael al Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. Tichsiv Bahen, Mizeh Umizeh Heim Suvin. So it's a play on the words. Mazeh, the Al Mazeh, was a play on the words that it says on the Luchos, they were written on both sides. Whichever way you looked at the Luchos, you could see the Aseret HaDibros. So this was asking Esther through Hasoch to Mordechai, knew are the Jewish people in some way not following the Torah? Is that why this evil decree has been brought upon us? Now, Mordechai tells Hasoch, go back and tell Esther to go and visit Achashverosh and ask him to annul the decree. And Esther said, you just can't go to Achashverosh anytime you want. I haven't been called to the king for many days, and therefore he's going to kill me if I come to him. So the Gemara continues in Darshins, and it says, Vayagidu l'Mordechai eis the Esther. So the Megillah tells us, they, Vayagidu, not Vayagid, not Hasoch himself who came back, but they went and told Mordechai the following. Vayagidu l'Mordechai eis the Esther. Other people did, not Hasoch. Vilu ihu, Hasoch himself, lo azal l'gabe. He refused to go and tell Mordechai that Esther said, I can't go because he'll kill me. You see from here, Mikan, She'ein Mishivin Alakokola, that a person shouldn't be a shaliach with bad news. You don't want to be the one to go tell bad news. So therefore, Hasoch said, I ain't going. Let somebody else go. So that's why it says, Vayagidu l'Mordechai. Other people went to Mordechai. We continue Darshing the Megillah. Finally, Esther agrees, of course, to go. Lech kinos kol yidum v'gomer. And she says, go and gather all the Jewish people, v'tzumo lai, and go and fast, etc. Ah, the shaloch hados. And then she concludes, and this is the part we're going to darshin. I'm now going to go into the king. Asher lo chadas, asher avadati avadati. So Omar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says, shlo kadas hoya, that now I would be going in, not like it was previously. Kadas means the way it was set up previously. That previously, every day previously, when I went to Achashveros, adashav ba'ones, he called me. I didn't have a choice. And therefore, when he was with me, I was basically raped. I was basically being assaulted, and therefore I'm allowed to still live with you as a husband and wife, because Rechmona Litzlan, other than a Kohen's wife, if a Yisrael's wife is raped, so it's not considered she's a Mizana, and she go back to her husband. But now, Kasher Avadati Avodati, Vachshav Berotzen, now I am going to him, so I'm going to be held accountable, even though I'm still not volunteering to do this, and still he's assaulting me. Nevertheless, since I'm playing a more active role, Esther Karka Olam is normally the position that we take, that she was totally innocent and totally unable to stop what Achashverosh is doing. But here she's instigating it to a certain extent. So she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Kishem Shavadati Mi Beis Abba, Kach Oved Bimcha. Just like I had been in the past, lost my father's house. Never. Her father died at conception, and her mother died during childbirth, as we mentioned previously. So I'm lost from them. Now I'm going to be lost from you as well. We won't be able to be husband and wife anymore, because I'm doing this aveiru now in a small part with my own intention. Vayavor Mordechai, the pasuk continues with darshin it, and Mordechai passed. What does that mean? Mordechai passed. Omar Rav, she'ever yom rishon shel Pesach b'tainis. When they said we're going to have 3 days of tainis, so this was during Pesach, and they abrogated having the Seder on Pesach, and they said, no, we're going to fast. It was fasting for Laila v'yom, 3 days they fasted, so this was over Pesach itself. Shmuel Amar, to over Akuma de Maya. Mordechai went, Lech Kinosis Kol Yehudim, he had to go across a body of water, Akuma de Maya, and therefore he went from one side to the other. That's what it means, Vayavor. He passed over this body of water. Then we darshin, Vahiba Yom HaShlishi, after the 3 days of fasting, so Esther goes in, Matavash Esther Malchus, we had this previously, so it says she put on Big Day Malchus. So it uses the Lashon, however, Vatabash Esther Malchus. It doesn't say Big De Malchus. So Big De Malchus, Mibayle. Why didn't it say the word Big De Malchus? So we dashed this previously. Omer B'Elazar, Omer B'Chanina, Belami, Shelovashata, Ruach HaKodesh. That she put on Ruach HaKodesh. That's what it means, Lovsho Malchus. Malchus is a reference to the Ruach HaKodesh that she put on. As the Pasuk says, Ovihi Ksivhacha, Vatabash Esther Malchus, and Ksivhasam, we said previously, and it brought down the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, where it says, "V'ruach lovsho es Amosai." Amosai, again, we pointed out, was David HaMelech's nephew through David HaMelech's sister Abigail. Again, not to be confused with his wife Abigail. And he brought him, Amosai brought him a message through Ruach HaKodesh that everything would be okay with the people that were there. They weren't rebelling against David. And that, just like that, was lovsho es Amosai, the Ruach HaKodesh. So to Esther, lovsho Malchus means that she was putting on, so to say, her Ruach HaKodesh. So we had this statement in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina. So now we're going to have a whole bunch of other psukim that are darshan by Rabbi Elazar on Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, Leolam Alti Beachas Hedjot Kalabinecha. A person should never take a bracha that he gets even from a hedjot to take it lightly. A hedjot is a common person, although we'll see we're actually talking about two malachim, but even kings, earthly kings, are considered common people when it comes to Mili Dishmaya, when it comes to spiritual things. So even though you may be a king, but you're still a common person, unless you're a great, great person in Torah. Sahari Shnei Gidolei Adar. Here we have that two Gidolei Adar, these are true Gidolei Adar, got a bracha, Berchum Shnei Hedyotos, were blessed by two Hedyotos, albeit they were kings, and the Niskaimo Behen, and those blessings that those Hedyotos gave them were in fact fulfilled. So therefore, Alti Birchas Hedyot, don't take the bracha even of a common person lightly in your eyes, because it could come true. Who are these two people? Elaine, David and Daniel. They were both blessed by common people, again, albeit they were kings. And we see this from David, the Barche Arav Nahivusi. Arav Nahivusi was the king of the Yevusim, and he owned property of the Harabais and the Chsiv, and he sold it to David, and he told him, and now the Vagomer here, as is often the case in the Gemara, is the critical part. And the critical part over here, the Vagomer, is that Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find your words acceptable. And we'll see that this actually occurred in the Navi over there in Shmuel Beis. It tells us there was a plague, and David davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted David's words. So that's what it means, Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha. Your God will accept your tshuva, will accept your words of tefillah, and stop the plague. So therefore, that was the Birchas Hedyot that Aravna gave to David, and it came true. So Al Tiei Birchas Hedyot Kalabei Necha. And similarly, but Daniel, the Baruchi Dayavish, that the king Dayavish gave him a bracha d'chsev. But when Daniel had to be thrown into the Govah Arayis, this is the first Dayavish who was made a decree. He was told by the other wicked statesmen that they were jealous of Daniel being appointed the leader. That's what we said before, Hasach, that he was cut down from the leadership role that the original Dayavish had given to him. Belshazzar had also given to him, and Dayavish defeated Belshazzar. He kept Daniel in his great place. The other statesmen were jealous of him, so they concocted this plan that you had to go and daven to the king, anybody davening to anybody else, we thrown into a den of lions, the Govah Arayis, and Daniel stood by the window, and everybody saw him. We get the din that you're supposed to daven in a shul that has windows, and they all saw him davening, so they had to throw him into the den of lions, and Dayavish gave Daniel a bracha, and he said, Dersiv, Elokoch, di ant, your God, Polachle, that you daven to, Bitadira, on a regular basis, who yishes vincha, he will go and save you. So that was the bracha that Dayavish gave to Daniel, and it came true. Okay, Alti Birchas Hedyot Kalabinecha. If you get a bracha from somebody, don't be quick to dismiss it. Be'ezus Hashem, it will come true. So we said this other statement for Belazar Chanina. Now we say another statement for Belazar Chanina. Amar Belazar Chanina, Alti Kilas Hedyot Kalabinecha. Likewise, just like a bracha of a hedyot, don't take lightly. Even a curse from a hedyot, don't take lightly either. And we see this Nebuch from the story of Avimelech and Sarah. So Avimelech captured Sarah, and he took her in and was going to have relations with her, Rechmono Litzlan, and Hashem stopped up all the orifices and all the people there, and he realized he did something wrong, and he tells Sarah, why didn't you tell me? Shari Avimelech killed Sarah. He told her, listen, it will be a curse for you what you did to me, and it will cover up your eyes. And this was Niskayim Bizarra and her son Yitzchak, so he became blind. That why the curse of this hedyot of Avimelech was unfortunately fulfilled in Yitzchak. But he kizach in Yitzchak. When Yitzchak got older, Vatichena Einav, he wasn't able to see. Okay. Another statement, Gomer Elazar and Chanina. Look at the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a human being. The difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a person. When a regular person wants to go and make some soup, cook a pot of water, you have to first put the plate, the pot out there. Then you can put in the water and go and heat it up. That's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows, he first puts the water out there. And then he puts the container out there. The clouds are the container. He first puts the rain out there, and then the clouds collect it. And this fulfills the pasuk that we bring down from Yirmiyahu, where it says, "Lekol tito hamon mayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to put water out there, bashamayim, and then only afterwards do the clouds come. The end of the pasuk is vayale nisiyim mikseya oritz. Only then do the clouds come after the water's already there. So again, the end of the pasuk here is the critical part, and it's not listed as is often the style of the Gemara. Finally, another statement. Another statement that he said. If you say something in the name of the person who said it, so then Navi Gula Liol, that brings the Gula to the world. You're not taking credit for something that you didn't say. You're mentioned over the name of that person. That brings the Gula to the world. Where do we see this from? None other than Megillas Esther. This statement is found many places in Shas, and we see it from Esther. Shenemar, Vatomer Esther la Melech. Esther tells the Melech about the plot of Bigs and Sesheris, but she doesn't just tell it in her own name. She could take it all the credit for it. She says it b'shem Mordechai. She says it over the name of Mordechai, and therefore Mordechai gets the credit. Omer dover shem Omro. That led to the Gula. Another statement, tzaddik avad, when a tzaddik nebuch dies, ledor avad, he's only lost to that generation. However, he lives on forever. We say, l'havdu b'chayim l'chayim. So, marshal liyad b'shavdu l'margulis. It's the example over here is if a person lost a jewel, he lost a pearl, a margulis. So, kol makum shihi, wherever that margulis is, margulis shmat, it retains its name of being a margulis. The person lost it, but it's still a pearl. So lo avda el labala. So the only one that's lost that pearl is the one who owned it, but the pearl is still there. So to the tzaddik Nebuch, his generation has lost him, but the greatness of that tzaddik, the tremendous things that that tzaddik performed, and the schus of that tzaddik, that lives on forever. Where it continues, he quotes another member in the name of Elazar and Machanina. The Chozan Enu Shavali Haman says, none of this is worth it to me. If Mordechai doesn't bow down to me, everything is totally useless. So Elazar b'Chanina says in this situation, when he sees Mordechai sitting in the Shar HaMelech and not bowing down to him, he says, Omar, all this is not worth anything to me. Now the Bach adds over here, because he sees Mordechai not bowing down to him, that should make everything in his life totally worthless. So the Gemara then says, no, because of what Rav Chisda said. What did Rav Chisda say? Damar Rav Chisda, Zeba b'prozbuli, v'zeba be, and we turn to Tetzvavah b'veiz, b'prozbuti. Now, what this is telling us is, the Medrash tells us, as brought down in the Yalkut Esther, the Medrash on Esther, that it tells us that both Mordechai and Haman were generals in the army, and they were given a certain amount of money in order to supply their food with troops. And Haman wasted his money, and Mordechai, of course, took very good care of the money. And Haman's troops were starving. So he goes to Mordechai and says, Nu, can you help me out? So Mordechai said, sure, I'll be happy to help you out. I'll give you half the money that I have. However, you have to sell yourself to me as a slave. And therefore, anything that you have belongs to me. So therefore, that was signed and agreed upon, and everything that Haman had really belonged to Mordechai. So he says, "Chol zeh ani shoveli." None of it's worth it to me when I actually see Mordechai Yehudi. Now this was really the downfall of Haman, and this is the Yetzer Hara that we all should see and look at from Haman. The Mefarshim explained that Haman had everything. He was the second in command. He had tremendous money and wealth and property, and we'll see he was a very immoral person. He had all the pleasures of this world. And yet, he says, "V'cholze enenu shovali." It's not worth it to me, unless I have one more thing. He needs one more thing. A person who's not happy with what he has will never be happy. Yesh lo mona rotza masayim. If a person doesn't realize that what you have right now is what makes you happy, if you have 100, you're going to want 200. If you have 200, you want 400. My Rebbeim always used to say that the poor person is better off. He has 100, he wants 200. He's only 100 away from what he has. If you have 5 billion and you want 10 billion, you're 5 billion away from what you want to have. So therefore, you can be even unhappier. So therefore, this very important idea we learn out that Haman wasn't happy. Even though he had so much, he wasn't happy. And Omer Rapapa says, and they called Haman, they made fun of Haman, they called him that he was the Eved because he had sold himself for bread. In other words, this medrash that I just mentioned, that he needed to go and sell himself in order to go and supply the food for his troops, which he had squandered on his own personal use. The Gemara continues in Dashes of Chose and Inu Shovali. Now, some are not Gorisis because if you look at the Bach, he says, this is a continuation of the previous Drasha, so you don't have to repeat the words again. And he says, Malamit, you call Ginozov Shalos to Rosha, Chachkukin Alibo, that all the property, all the Ginozov, all the storehouses of what he owned, in other words, his entire ledger was Chokuk Alibo, used to carry it around on his heart. He had some sort of a listing of all of his properties. And when he saw Mordechai, it's not really not mine. It's all his. He knows, I know, that I really owe it all to him. Mark continues, and now we're going to Darshan, a series of psukim from Yeshaya. Now, we only bring parts of the psukim. The other parts aren't always brought down. I'm going to try to read you each pasuk, the entire pasuk, as we go and learn it. So the first pasuk that we have is as follows: "Bayomahu Yashem Tzvakos Lateris Tzvi Vilitzviras Tivora Lishar Amo." That's the first pasuk we want to darshan. So Amar Rav Elazar Rav Chanina, he says, "Osed Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lios Atora Berosh Kol Tzadik." In the future, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a crown Berosh Kol Tzadik Betzadik in the head of every single tzadik. And where do we see this from? Shenamai, the pasuk tells us. By Yamahu, this pasuk I just mentioned, then the Vagomer, and the Vagomer is the important part, Litzviras Tifara, Lishar Amo, which we're now going to darshan. What does it mean? My Lateris Tzvi, Litzviras Tifara, there should be a crown over here, a crown of beauty, Lateris Tzvi, a crown of beauty, and Litzviras Tifara, it's a certain type of jewelry around the head, some sort of a crown also like, that's for glory. So what is that referring to? La'osin tzivyono, that those do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, v'lametzapin, and they're looking forward to Tivarto, the Mashiach coming, and his glory days. And I might have thought this applies to everybody. Yochel HaKol, so Talmud Loma, the pasuk continues and says, L'sharamo, it's only for the people that act as sharamo. What does that mean? L'mi shemeisim atzmo kishirayim. The people that make themselves like a nothing, they make themselves into humble, and therefore they're like the sheiris, like the shrayim, and therefore those people will be zocha to this crown and this other type of jewelry that will be for beauty and for glory. Then we continue the next pasuk. The full next pasuk is as follows: Ruach Mishpat La Yosef Al Hamishpat Vilikvura Mishive Muhammad Shara. So what do we dash in this pasuk? So the first part, Ruach Mishpat, that's a reference Ze Adon Es Yitzra. That's the person that's able to go and overcome his Yetzahara. Then the pasuk La Yosef Al Hamishpat. What does that mean? That's a person who Ze Adon Din Emes Lamito. He judges properly. So such people Likvura, they'll be for Gvura. That's a reference to Zam is Gaber or Yitzro, a person who can overcome his Yitzhar as well. And Meshive Mulchama, so that means Shinosim and Nosim Bilmucham to Shotorah, they're constantly engaged in the battle of Torah against the Yitzhar. And finally, Shara, they're referred to as the Shoarim, they're the ones that guard the gates. Elu, these are the Tamidei Chachamim, Shemashkimim, Arivim, Bavati Knesios, Bavati Midrashos. This is a reference to the great Tamidei Chachamim, they get up early in the morning and go to sleep late at night. In other words, they're the first ones in and the last ones out of the shul, and they're the ones that go and let people in and close the gates behind them. Nobody else is there after them, so they're the Shoarim, they're the gatekeepers, and this is, again, a reference to the Tamidei Chachamim. Then we have the next pasuk. The next pasuk over here in Yeshaya tells us, "Gam ela bayayin shagu ubashechar tov." They all got drunk from wine and from older wine. And kohen v'navi shagu b'shechar nivlu min hayayin tov min hashechar shagu baroa paku pelilia. And they all, because of their immersions in these various gashmius pleasures, so they all nebuch stumbled and they all got into trouble. So again, what is this pasuk dashin? So Rabbi Elazar and Chanina continue to dash. They say, "Amra midas hadin l'pnei Kodesh Baruch Hu." The midas hadin says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Hey, how come you're treating the Jewish people differently than everybody else?" Rabbi Shalom, "Manishtanu elu mielu." How come the Jewish people, they get punished in one way and the rest of the world gets punished in another way? Klai Yisrael seems to have an unfair advantage. So Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the midas hadin, "Yisrael lasu b'Torah." Umos olam lasu b'Torah. The Torah is making. The Torah is what gives them this special benefit, so to say. Because they learn Torah, so they're zochet, entitled to certain things. The rest of the world doesn't learn Torah, they're not entitled to those things. So Amalei, so the Midas Adin says back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, there are some people that don't learn Torah, and those are, that's what the Pasuk says, Gam Eile Bayayin Shogu Bashech HaTo, these people, they unfortunately aren't learning Torah. They're wasting their time with all sorts of frivolous activity, the drinking and the pleasures. So, paku pelilia, they're going to go down to Gehenna. Now, how do we know that these words mean what I just said? Ain't paku, well, Gehenna, the word paku means Gehenna, because the Pasuk tells us, this Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Shenema, we just had this the other day, when Abigail goes and tells David, please don't take me now, I'm at the right time. My husband Nabal's still alive. Don't commit this terrible sin. So that would be that you would fall down to Gehenna if you were to do this. Bein Pelilia Ela Dayanim, and the lashon of Pelilia, Paku Pelilia, the Dayanim will judge you. We see that that's a lashon of Dayanim for when the pasuk that we have in Mishpatim Shneim Avin Astan Biflilim. The word Plilim means judges. We continue the Darshan Megillah. Vatoma Vatamod Bechatzar Beisamelech. I mean, Miss Esther stood. She's about to go into Achashverosh's chambers. She stood inside the inner part of the palace. And Amar Rabbi Levi says, Kivo Shigil Beis HaSlamim, when she reached a certain point where they had the idols inside the king's palace, all of a sudden, Nistalko Hemeno Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, left her. She was Lovsha, we said before, but Tobash Estel Machuz, she was Lovsha B'Ruach HaKodesh, that Ruach HaKodesh left her at this point in time. And Esther said, "Ay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where are you?" And this is the famous kapitel in Tehillim, Ayelas HaShachar, where she says, "Amra, Keili, Keili, Loma Avzavtoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you're leaving me at this point in time? Maybe, Shema HaTodon, Al-Shogi Kamezit. You think that I'm doing this on purpose, that I get any hanor from going to Achashverosh? You're judging a person who is a shogeg, a person who does things accidentally, kemezi, like a person who does things intentionally, being al ones kirotzen, and something that happens to somebody against their will and ones, you're judging like they were willing partners of this? Do you think I want to go to Achashverosh? Or maybe, Oshema, Ashikorosim Kelim. Oh, maybe you're upset because I called him a dog. I called Achashverosh a dog, and it's not right that you don't call a king a king. It's, even though he's a horrible person, calling him a dog maybe was wrong. Shenema, Hatzila Mecherev Nafshim, Yad Kelev Yechidosi. Is that what you're upset about? Oh, Chosver Karoso, Aryeh. Okay, then I'll call him a lion. Shenema, now she says, Oshieni, Mipi Aryeh. Save me from the lion. That's a simple way to understand that she was apologizing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, how come you're leaving me? If I did something wrong, it wasn't intentionally, and if I mistakenly called Achashverosh a dog, so I now call him an Aryeh. Others say, before she was referring to the dog was Haman, and now she's calling to Achashverosh the Aryeh. In any event, so she's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please stay with me and help her out, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Mark continues, Darshi in the Pesukim, Vayhi Chiroz HaMelech Es Esther HaMalko. He sees Esther HaMalko coming into his room, and Motza Chayn, she finds Chayn, and he extends, he goes, Vayoshed HaMelech Esther, he goes and puts out his rod, his golden scepter to Esther, and we darshan this as follows. Omer Yochanan, Gimel Malachi Asharis Nizdamnu Lo Abi Osasha. Three Malachim came and helped Esther out at this point in time. These Lashonas that we had in the Pasuk are darshan in the following way. Echot Sheik Bias Savara, one held her up. Remember, she'd been fasting for 3 days and three nights, so she was very weak. So she was literally falling down. So one of the malachim, so to say, supported her, held her up. The echad, another one, shemasha chut shechesed aleha. The person's been fasting and dehydrated and not doing well for 3 days. They're not going to look very pretty. And therefore, the whole purpose was that Achashverosh should be happy to see her and not say, oh, she looks terrible. I might as well get rid of her. So this malach brought a chut shel chesed aleha that Achashverosh should be delighted to see her. The echot shemosach es hashavit, and one that stretched out and extended. Vayoshed HaMelech, it had to be extended further. As we'll see, a nace occurred. She was so weak she couldn't come towards him. He put out his shavit, he put out his scepter, and she didn't come towards it. So therefore, the shavit extended. This is reminiscent, as the Gemara will say, of Bas Paro when she extended her arm. We just had this Gemara the other day about Bas Paro saving Bisya, saved Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says that she extended her arm there as well. So we'll darshan this now. Vakama, how much did the third malach go and extend the shavit of the king? So we have a number of different interesting ideas as to how much is extended. Some of the Farshim go and darshan what these numbers mean. We're just going to go straight through this Gemara right now. And Amar of Yirmi says, Shtei Amos Hoya, the Asharvit itself was 2 amas long. Again, an amas is about 1.5 to 2 feet. So this was somewhere in the area of 3 to 4 feet long. That's how long his scepter was. And the Malach came, the Amido, he extended it, Al Shtei Misrei. He extended it, now it would reach to be 12 amah long, again, somewhere between 18 and 24 feet. Others say, the Amido, no, it was Sheshesrei. It extended to 16 amah. So 16 amma is how much it was extended. Some say it was 24 amma. And the Masnisa Tana, we learn in the Brisa, Al Shishin, who extended to 60. Here Rashi gives us a reason why. From the next drasha that we're going to have, it's going to be a drasha of 60 ammas, and that's going to apply over here too. So we'll see in the next drasha why it's 60, so that's why it'll be 60 over here too. We know that. Now, it could be translated literally as the maidservant, or it could be translated as her arm. So the Metro Drash is that the Bas Pario Bisya stuck out her arm to go get baby away Moshe, who was out in the middle of the Nilus, and her arm extended. Again, a very important vart over here, that even though on a natural basis it would be impossible for her to have reached it, she made the first effort, she tried. And Habal, Litar, Messiah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Sometimes things look impossible. Oh, we're going to build a yeshiva. How can we build a yeshiva? We have $100 to our name, the yeshiva is going to cost $10 million to build. No, you start. You make the first efforts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go and make that the yeshiva will be able to be built. You make the efforts, that mitzvah will be able to be fulfilled through you. So she stuck out her hand, and the measure says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously extended her hand out 60 amma, and she was able to bring in baby boy Moshe from the basket. Likewise, Chenat Motzei Bishin Rishayim, by the teeth of the wicked. This is referring to a medrash that says that Og Melech HaBoshen held up the har over Klai Yisrael, and Hashem said, either you accept it, or Og Melech HaBoshen is going to drop the mountain on you, and we accepted it. So Og Melech HaBoshen still wanted to drop the mountain on us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that his teeth extended out, and he couldn't drop the mountain, and the mountain collapsed upon Og Melech HaBoshen. And how did that happen? Hashem extended his teeth. Chenat Motzei Bishin Rishayim. It says over there, Shine Rishayim Shibarta, that you broke the teeth of the wicked one. Omer Shlokish, Shlokish said, Al Tikre Shibarta, Elo Sherivavta, that you went and extended them out. In other words, his teeth extended. And Rashi Darshan, over here, it should have said, Shane Rasha. So you have an extra Yud from Shine, and you have the extra Yud Mem from Rishayim. So Yud is 10, so twice 10 is 20, and then the 40 of the Mem is 60. That's the allusion to the 60 Amma that we have over here by the Shine Rishayim, and by Amasa Shapiro, and by our Bryce, that it said that the scepter, the Sharvit, extended 60 Amma. This is where they darshan it from. Rabba Bar Ufron, again we said his name is Ufron, not Ephron. Rabba Bar Ufron, Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Shoshama Mi Rabba, Rabba Mi Rabba, they all heard from their Rebbe, heard from their Rebbe, heard from their Rebbe, that it was actually Mosayim, that extended 200 Amma. Again, all these numbers have various ideas attached to them, but we're going to go right in the Gemara, and we continue darshan the Megillah. The Megillah says, Yom Elam Melech, now this is actually a jumble of two Pesukim over here, so I'll read it with the correct girsa that one of the Pesukim has. By Yom Elam Melech, and you see on the side, Maloch Esther Amako, Uma Bakoshoser, Al Chati Amachos. The gears that we have is Seos, but it should be Vinosin Loch. Okay, so this jumble of these two psukim tells us that the king said to Esther, I'll give you Ad Chati Amachos, up to half the kingdom. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Chati Amachos below Kol Amachos. I'll give you up to half, but not more than that. Now, what does it mean, not more than that? Below Dover Shechotseitz Lamachos, not something that would cause a division in the Malchus. In other words, it's something that's going to cause controversy. That's going to cause me trouble. That's going to split the kingdom apart because there's always anti-Semitism and they didn't want the Beis HaMikdash to be built, or he was afraid that the Jewish people, once they have a Beis HaMikdash, are going to rebel against him. So he told Esther, you can have whatever you want, up to half the Malchus. In other words, even up to something that would cause up to the division of the Malchus. Other than that, though, I can't give you the Beis HaMikdash. So anything else you want, pretty much you can have, but not the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, Esther and Achashverosh would have a son, Daryavish, and he would be the one to, again, allow the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We continue Darshaning. It says, Esther says to the king, Oh, Yavo HaMelech V'yamon Hayom. I don't know why it doesn't say the word Hayom. Ela Mishteh Asher Asisi Lo. And she invites Haman along with Achashverosh to the private dinner that she has prepared for them. And she does this twice. So Gemara says, what in the world is Haman doing over there? So the Gemara gives a number of reasons why she invited Haman. And the Gemara will eventually say all of them are correct. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Pachim Tomnolo, that she set a pach is a trap. So she lulled him into a false sense of security. She never, Yishulchanam Lefnein Lepach, your table will be for you a trap. Achashverosh and Haman are going to be, whoa, they're sitting pretty. Whoa, look at this great meal we have. Even the queen loves us, so it's going to set them up for a trap. And that's the purpose why she invited Haman. That's the first reason, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yishua Omer, Mibes Avilam, the Shulin is from her father's house. And the Rashi says, obviously, Nebuch, she didn't have a father, so therefore, she didn't have a mother. She was raised in the house of Mordechai, so it says, Shomo HaTinokos Omukin. This is what she heard the little children saying, and she said, this is smart. You sometimes look at the little children to give you nevuah. So the little children were saying over here this idea, Shinemar, Imro'ev Sonacho HaChileyu Lechem V'gomer. If your enemy is starving, so then feed him. And the purpose behind this is, in this situation, it's a pasuk for Mishlei, so in this situation, he's going to be embarrassed to start up with you. If you help out somebody, it's going to be hard for them, in general, most people, even if they're bad people, if you help them out, they're going to want to be nice to you. So she said, I'm going to go make this suda for Haman and Achashverosh, and maybe they'll change their plan that they've concocted against the Jewish people. That's a Yeshua. Remeir Omer, Kidesh Lo Yitol Eitzav Yimrod. He didn't want Haman to go and privately then have conversations with the king when she wasn't around. This way, Haman and the king would be together, and she could control their conversations and make sure that things wouldn't go south. Reviewed Omer, Kideshul Yakiru Bo, she Yehudis. He didn't want Haman to have any suspicion that she was Jewish, right? She Esther Loma Geddes Molatov, Yesama. So she didn't want them to think that she was Jewish, and therefore they wouldn't talk about their plot in front of her. So she wanted them to be free with information, she might be able to garner some information about what the plot would be. Rav Nechemya Omer, he says, Kadesh Leomer Yisrael, Achos Yishlonu Beveis HaMelech. This was for Kala Yisrael. When we have an important person in the government that we think is on our side, so many people say, we don't need Hashem on this one. We got so-and-so, Mr. Politician, he's going to help us out. We have somebody in the White House. We have somebody in the King's Court. We have people that will take care of all of this for us. We don't have to dive into Hashem. We have our own way of getting out of this. And that's terribly wrong. And that's a problem that the Jewish people have had throughout our history, that we rely upon people other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that you can't do. So therefore, Esther wanted to, so to say, stick it to the Jewish people and say, you think because you have Queen Esther, Jewish lady, Orthodox Jewish lady, that everything's going to be good? No, look who I'm cohorting with. Look who I'm consorting with. I'm going around with your arch enemies. So maybe you shouldn't think that I'm going to be the answer to all your problems. So the people shouldn't say, Kadesh Shalom Yisrael, Ochus Yisrael B'nei Samelech, we don't have to dive into Hashem. And they're going to forget to go dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yossi gives his reasoning. Rav Yossi Omer Kadesh Yumotsoi Lo B'choleis. She wanted to make sure that Haman was right there. Because if he were to make a mistake, she could point it out to the king and say, kill him right now. So she wanted Haman close and nearby. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, he gives a different reason. He says, Ulai yargish hamokom v'yasal anes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be upset that she has to go and kowtow to these two Rishayim, and it will anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'll bring about the Yeshua at that moment in time. V'yasal anes. Rav Shimon Karach tells us, Omer, Asbilo upon him, Kadesh Yarek Huvi. No, she'll say, I'll cozy up to Haman. And that will get HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu so angry that he's going to kill him and me, but that will save Klai Yisrael from Haman. Rav Galil gives a different reason. Rav Galil Omer, Melech Hafach V'chon Hoya, that Achashverosh was a very fickle king, and therefore, you know what's going to happen? He's going to say, if he was just alone with Esther, and Esther tells him how bad Haman is, he says, I'm going to kill Haman. But the next day, Haman will come to him, there'll be an appeals court, there'll be all sorts of things, and he'll change his mind. So, strike while the iron is hot. If Haman is there, he'll say, off with his head right now. Go hang him on the tree right now, which is what happened. And therefore, Ramula says, don't take the chance. It'll change his mind. Like with Vashti, he changed his mind the next day, but she was dead. It was too late. But Rav Gamliel said, all of these reasons that we just gave, they're not as good as the reason that Rabbi Elazar HaModoy is going to say. The Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa. Rabbi Elazar HaModoy Omer, Kin Atu Bamelech, Kin Atu Basorim. Her point over here was to get everybody mad at Haman. The king is saying, hey, why am I having a private candlelight dinner with my wife and Haman? What's going on over here? Is she having an affair with Haman? What in the world is Haman doing over here? So that would get the king mad at Haman. And likewise, all the other officers saying, hey, how come Haman gets invited to the state dinner? I didn't get invited to the state dinner. That's not fair. And they're all going to get angry at Haman, just like they all ganged up previously against Daniel. And they tried to get rid of Daniel. She was hoping that everybody would gang up on Haman and try to get rid of Haman. Then we have two more statements. Until now, all of these were Tanoim. Now we have Amaroim. Rabbi Omar, Lifnei Shever Gon. Pride comes before the fall. That's this pasuk over here that we have from Mishlei. Before the destruction, there is Gaon. There is arrogance. So a person is always going to be very arrogant if he's invited up to this fancy party. Look who I got invited. And that's going to lead to his downfall. Abai Rabba, the last two that we have over here right now, the Amri Tavayu, they say, Bechumam Oshis Es Mishteim V'Gomer. Esther is saying, listen, you're going to get them drunk and get them to do things that are inappropriate, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take out their anger against them, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger against Belshazzar when he partied after his victory. No, we had all of these reasons. Ashkan Rabba Baravua Leilio. Rabba Baravua was Zochet to have a conversation with Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked him, Amalei, Keman Chazi Esther V'Avdo Hochi. Which one of the reasons that we brought down is correct? What was the real reason that Esther invited Haman to the party? And Eliyahu said, Amalei, Kechulu Tanoi U'Kechulu Amaroi. It was like all the Tanoim that said, and then like the last two Amaroim, all of them are right. Every one of those was part of Esther's calculation in inviting Haman to the Mishteh with Achashverosh. We continue darshening by Yisaper Lehem Haman as Kvodosh Rov Robanov. We continue darshening over here. Haman brags to his family and he tells them, oh, look how much osher and how many children I have, and I'm still upset that Mordechai Yehudi, Lachama Robanov, what does it mean, Robanov? Many of his children. So I'm a Rav. Lamed, how many children did he have? He had 30 children. Asor Mesu, 10 of them died. That's not the 10 that are listed in the Megillah. Asara Nitlu, those are the 10 that are listed in the Megillah, they were hung. And Asara Mechazud al Hapsochim. And there were another 10 that were destitute. After Haman was deposed, after Haman was killed, so then his children were left destitute. The Rabbanan Amrei, others say no. Also, Shemchazud al Hapsochim, Shivim Havya, he had 70 children. The Mepharshim bring down, you can look in the Ben Yoyada, and it says in other places as well that Haman was a very immoral person, and he had numerous children through adultery. And now, after he was deposed, all of a sudden, he no longer was protecting all of these adulterous children, and their households threw them out because they were mamzerim. So the husbands of those wives threw their illegitimate children, who were Haman's children, out of their houses. And now they were destitute, and those were the ones of Mechazon HaPsochim, and they were Shivim, according to this version. And where do we get the idea? 70. The Siv Sveim Balechem Niskaru. It says in the Pasuk, when it is in Shmuel Aleph, it's referring to the Sveim, those that were satiated with bread. They were the ones that now had to go and hide themselves out. They were previously full, but now they were destitute. So this is referring to Haman's sons. Atikre Sveim, Ela Shivim. They're 70. Don't read it Sveim, read it Shivim. Rami Ba'aba says, Omar Kula Masayim Ushmonayu. To the Gematria of Rov, it's 208. Shnema Virov Banav. So it's 208. Mor says, Hi, Rov is normally spelled Resh Vav Beis. Even though it's spelled here in this pasuk chaser, it's normally spelled resh vav beis. That would be 214. Rov v'gematria moson v'arbeis sahavu. So the Gemara says, "Rov nachmo yitzok v'rov ksid." No, it's written over here without the vav, and therefore it is 208, not 214. We continue. Darish thing where it says, "Balai lo ahu nadidosh nasamelech." The person reading the Megillah is supposed to read this with great, loud voice, a much larger intonation. And it says, "Balailahu nadidosh nasamelech." The king woke up. Which king are we talking about? Amar Tanchum, nadidosh nasamalkush lo. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu, kaviyochol, woke up from his sleep. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu never sleeps. That's totally incorrect to think of God as sleeping, but it means that he decided no longer to be silent on this, but now he brings about the gula for Klai Yisrael at that point in time. Others say, "Rabbanan Amrei, nadu elyonim, nadu tachtonim." The malachim, they daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, just like the people in this world daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu as well, and everybody daven, and that's what caused about the gula now. Rava, my Rava says, "Shnas Hamelech Achashverosh Mamish." No, it's referring here not to Hakadosh Baruch Hu; it's referring to the earthly king Achashverosh. And Nofle Milso Bedaita, and a thought went into his head. He said, "Omar, wait a second. My dekaman dezimnite Esther lohaman. Why exactly did Esther invite Haman over here?" And this is what we said before. Esther caused it to be jealous. She said, "Uh-oh, are they concocting some sort of a cabal against me? Are they having a marida? This is going to be a rebellion. And she's cozying up to me and Haman at the same time. So we can all be together and Haman will kill me. So how come nobody told me about it? They're going to go and try to kill me. And how come nobody's telling me? Isn't there somebody that has mercy on me that would tell me about this plot? The Hava Modali and would tell me?" So then he says, "Dilma ika inish the ava bi tuvuso velo parate." Oh, it must be because somebody previously did me a favor and I didn't reward him. So the next guy is going to say, "Hey, listen, all I'm doing is taking a risk by trying to tell on this person, because maybe they won't believe me, and then this person will be my enemy for life, and he'll kill me. So nobody wants to step forward because I didn't pay back my debts. Somebody who did me a favor, I have to pay him back. So therefore, mishum hachi, because of this, that I didn't pay back a previous person who did me a tova, mimnai yinshit. So people say, I'm not putting my life at risk to go and help the king, v'lomagalli, and nobody's telling me." Oh, immediately, miyad. Vayomer, he said, "Lovia sefer hazichronos." He says, "Go bring the sefer hazichronos. Bring me my court records over here. All the things that happened to me. And let's check if I, in fact, didn't pay somebody back." And in fact, they do find out that with Big Son Vesera, she never paid back Mordechai. Vayunikroim, lifnei ha-melech. The Megillah, it read itself. Melamed shenikroim me'elein. Haman's sons were the court readers, and they refused to go and read this. So therefore, the Megillah, so to say, read itself. And it was found in this sefer of the king's activities, exactly this idea that someone did the king a tova and wasn't paid back. Now, it uses lashon kosov. Kosav niboyle. It should say it was written in the past tense. Why is it saying it's being written right now? Malami, this teaches us another nes occurred. Not only did it get read by itself, but it was being erased. Shishimshi, who was the scribe, who was the one who was reading over here, who was Haman's son, Mochek. He was erasing this so it wouldn't be in the king's record. But Gabriel Kosev, and Gabriel rewrites it over here. And that's what it says. Amar Ravasi. Ravasi says, Dorish Rav Shela, Ish Kvar Tamrasa. The Rav Shela who came from the city of Tamrasa. So he said, Umak Sov Shelemato. A writing on this world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, the Gabriel rewrote it, even though Shimshi, Haman's son, tried to erase it. Nevertheless, it's written down permanently again. So certainly in Shemayim, Ksav Shalamala, Lo Kol Shekein, something that's written down in Shemayim will always be there for a person on his record. And in the middle of this drasha still of the Megillah, fascinating drashas. I know the shiurim are a little bit longer than usual, but they're such fascinating things, but this will conclude today's shiur.